Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to today's Conversations with the Masters call with my guest, Michael Gerber. My name is Mary Allen, and I am a Master Certified Coach. I'm author of The Power of Inner Choice, and I am your host of this Conversations with the Masters series. Before I introduce Michael, I just want to welcome all of our live listeners and those of you that may be listening to this as a recording. And thank you, as always, for continuing to spread the word about these Conversations with the Masters calls. Today's call is being recorded, so you can go back and listen to it again or refer a friend to listen. And if you've pre-registered for the call, you'll be receiving a special follow-up email later this week, along with some special links that you'll want to keep your eye out for. So I want to invite you to clear all distractions, pull out a notepad, and get ready for a dose of practical information about creating small business success. So I'm just so excited to have Michael Gerber with us here today. I first learned about Michael about 17 years ago when I was affiliated with the People's Network, which is a personal development TV network. Remember those days, Michael?
Oh, yes. That's such a long time ago.
I know, it was. And you were, even back then, one of the top celebrity experts I learned so much from. I'm so grateful that we reconnected actually via Facebook. And I immediately, like, oh, my goodness, I've got to have you on Conversations with the Masters. And I know there are so many entrepreneurs in my community. And I thought, what a perfect way to kick off this year with Michael's wisdom so that everyone can set themselves up for success in the new year. Let me just tell you a little bit about Michael E. Gerber. He is a true legend of entrepreneurship. Inc. magazine called him the world's number one small business guru. He's the founder of eMyth Worldwide, which was started over 33 years ago. Along the way, Michael has authored many highly acclaimed books, including the New York Times bestseller, The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It, along with 12 other books about entrepreneurship and small and business management. Get this, The E-Myth Revisited has been translated into 29 languages. It's taught in 118 universities as a foundational entrepreneurial textbook. And Michael's experience includes working with more than 70,000 small business clients in 145 countries. Holy moly guacamole. The E-Myth Revisited has become the indispensable handbook for millions of small business owners, franchisors, and entrepreneurs alike. Some of his latest books that you may want to get on your bookshelf, The Most Successful Small Businesses in the World, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, and there's a whole series of co-authored E-Myth vertical books called like the E-Myth Attorney and E-Myth Accountant, so keep your eyes out for those. Today, Michael's focusing on his new venture, Michael E. Gerber Companies, and the entrepreneurship incubator called Origination. So we'll learn more about that on today's call. And he works together with his wife in Carlsbad, California. And just a really fun fact, in addition to being a highly sought-after speaker and small business revolutionary, he's just received a Lifetime Authors Achievement Award by the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors. Super, a phenomenal award, and is celebrating 25 years of the E-Myth. So congratulations, Michael, and welcome.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
And how are you today?
Well, I'm terrific.
Oh, fantastic. Well, so got lots of questions here for you. So, you know, just to start, I mean, like here, 33 years ago, you had the foresight to found E-Myth Worldwide. So just tell us a little bit about, you know, who this was for, why you started this.
Well, E-Myth Worldwide has been in the business of fixing broken businesses. And whether you realize this or not, that represents probably 99% of all companies on the face of the earth. most businesses are broken, and they're broken for a very simple reason, which is the undertext for all of my books, the E-Myth books. The E-Myth is the entrepreneurial myth, and it essentially says that, in fact, most small businesses are started by people who are not entrepreneurs, but what I've called technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to work in their purported to be business, doing it, busy, making a living, doing the work they love to do, and having to do all the work they don't love to do and really don't know how to do. And so that actually, I would say, is true of just about every coach on the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
They go off on their own, all alone in this cruel, cruel world, and don't truly know how to convert what they do into a scalable enterprise that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did at E-Myth. We created a scalable enterprise. We actually created the first business coaching company in the universe. And E-Myth was in business to deliver a turnkey system, a designed system, through which a small business owner could literally transform the state of his or her company without truly knowing any more than they did, just applying it in a much, much different way. And that's what it's been doing, and that's where the 70,000 plus clients have come from, and that's where the book has achieved its great reach, because we've actually designed a way for anyone who truly wishes to awaken the entrepreneur within her, within him, is able to do it.
Well, and that is really exciting, especially I was looking at some of the statistics about small business failures, and interesting statistics. You may know some of the most recent, but it's everywhere from 8 out of 10 new businesses failing within the first 3 years. Inc. magazine said that 80% of new business fail within the first 5 years. You know, it's kind of depressing.
It is. It's absolutely depressing. Tragic, because it doesn't have to happen. That's truly the rest of the matter. It doesn't have to happen. People don't have to fail in creating a new business of their own. All they need to do is to know how to do it.
Mm.
And that's what we've been working with for the past 35 years, teaching people, developing the methodology for truly anyone who wishes to create a growing, flourishing company to learn the underlying principles of how to do it, how to build it, how to think about it, how to relate to it, and how to get it to do what it's supposed to be doing without you, the owner, the founder, having to do it all.
Well, that is actually really exciting, and I think I'm actually pretty representative of many of the people on this call, and probably many of your clients as a coach. You know, working, I probably spend three full days a week delivering coaching and leading groups. You know, so I was particularly excited. I'm like, oh, good, I get to talk to Michael Gerber today.
Well, you see, and that, Mary, I know you're extraordinary at what you do.
Well, thank you.
And that's the fallacy underlying most small businesses. I'm extraordinary at what I do. I love what I do. So I'm going to go into business doing it on my own. I'm going to leave the job I have. I'm going to stop working for corporate America. I'm going to stop doing everything else. I'm going to simply focus my attention on doing what I love to do. And every single coach I have ever met has followed that paradigm. The problem is, they end up incapable of truly scaling the company that they founded. Call it the Mary Allen Company, whatever your company's name is.
Life Coach Mary Enterprises.
It's not scalable unless you're there.
Right, right.
So how do we replace Mary Allen and deliver what Mary Allen is so brilliant at delivering? Well, the only way you do that is by creating the Mary Allen system, just like Mary Kay did, just like Anita Roddick did at the Body Shop, just like Steve Jobs did at Apple. Every single one of us have the power, the potential to actually do that. But in league with your book, The Power of Inner Choice, we have to choose to.
Right. And as even though I've been familiar with your principles and have set aside 2 days a week to work on my business as opposed to being in my business, I'm still seeing the treadmill of it. So if the answer is really around creating a proprietary business system, where do we begin with that? Because I'm game to be a guinea pig for our listeners here. It's like, if I want to create a system to help people, let's say, radically increase inner peace in their lives, regardless of what's going on externally, like we can use that as an example or any other one about, how do we start creating that proprietary business system?
Well, it's very, very fundamental. The three essential systems in your company, Mary, lead generation, that's attracting people to you, lead conversion, that's converting them from somebody who is interested, a prospective customer or client, into an active client, and client fulfillment. There needs to be a lead generation system. There needs to be a lead conversion system. And there needs to be, and this is the rub, a client fulfillment system. In eMyth terms, our client fulfillment system was and is the eMyth Mastery Program. And the eMyth Mastery Program is a whole curriculum of processes built within the structure of what we call the seven centers of management attention. And so the seven centers of management attention are leadership, money, management, and then the three tactical centers called lead generation, lead conversion, client fulfillment. So we built a curriculum that in fact can be taught to a coach who in turn can teach it to an owner of a company and take them through the Michael Thomas, the eMyth, the Mary Allen business development process. And anyone can do that because we build a system that's not dependent upon a business expert to do, but somebody who is passionate to learn how to teach, facilitate, coach people through a process. We built the process. The process works. We perfected the process, and then we took that process out and taught others to deliver it. That's how you build growth. But not only growth, the important part of what that means is now I'm able to touch millions of people, not 10. And because I'm able to touch millions of people, I'm able to develop exactly what it is that I wish to develop to transform the state of small business worldwide. Now, you have to understand I'm not crowing about that, but that's been the passion from the very beginning. The passion from the very beginning of my entrepreneurial odyssey has been to transform the state of small business worldwide. And how do I do that? By awakening the entrepreneur within every single human being I can connect with. But if it depends upon me to do what I'm doing right now with you, Mary, talking, speaking, training, teaching, selling, and on and on and on.
Right, there would only be so many businesses you could touch if you were the only one delivering on your system.
You got it.
Yeah.
And so, Mary, I know just from the little bit of engagement that we've had that your passion is a global passion. Your passion isn't simply, I want to help Mary, I want to help John, I want to help Jim, I want to help. You want to do that. But, of course, it's called one small business owner, one person who's ready to be transformed at a time. But effectively, I need to be able to do that through countless of other people who I can teach how to do that. I can help to do that by providing them with a system that does that.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the point.
Right. So we've got, so to run any business, we've got these seven centers of management that really, it sounds like, regardless, you know, if it's a, you know, a Windows business, or it's, you know, a restaurant, or, you know, even a solopreneur, really they've got all seven of these systems they need to be paying attention
to. Right. They're universal laws.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially universal truths, universal processes, universal capabilities, universal intelligence. When you come to leadership, there are very specific things that any leader anywhere needs to do. All we did at the very beginning of our company was to figure out what those things were.
Mm-hmm. So what are some tips for people to really look at the leadership element of their business?
Well, we all know what those things are. Then the question is, okay, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, et cetera, and so forth. To lead, you have to know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
To lead, you have to be absolutely certain of why you're going there. To lead, you have to have a vision. You have to have a dream. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a mission. And so in the dreaming room, which is a late development, I developed the first dreaming room in 2005. I've now led personally 59 dreaming rooms.
Holy cow.
We have now launched a new company called Origination, so that I'm now taking what I've learned by leading 59 dreaming rooms into a dreaming room system that I can now delegate to dreaming room facilitators throughout the world. And we just started doing that through a very simple training, 3 days only. And we now have Dreaming Room facilitators in Colombia, in Mexico, in South Africa, in Denmark, in Sweden, in Canada, in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada, in many states throughout the United States, in Japan, in Australia. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is taking the process that I've created, the system that I created in the dreaming room, so that they now can do what I had to learn how to do and deliver it to millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so our dream now is to awaken entrepreneurship in the world, and to do that for a very important reason, because entrepreneurship is the key to truly creating a new world. And I simply say we have to choose between being a creator or being a consumer. We have to choose to be a creator or a consumer, or have somebody else make the choice for us. And there is no greater force of creativity on this planet than true entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs, like Muhammad Yunus, who created Grameen Bank. Our government today is the single largest consumer in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers consume, creators create. Creators create what consumers consume.
Right, right.
And we, all of us, get to do truly what it is that you speak about in The Power of Inner Choice. We get to choose our higher aim.
Yep. Yep.
Everyone's higher aim is to create. We're born to create. If we're born in the image of God, we're born to create. And I believe in this so deeply that I'm just on this missionary path to engage everyone, every single one of your coaches, to awaken the entrepreneur within themselves and to awaken the entrepreneur within countless people around them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a very worthy mission and vision, and I am with you 100% because I certainly see the number of people that, you know, have been deployed from their current corporate jobs, and entrepreneurship is really a viable opportunity for so many people, but only if they have the right skills, right? Otherwise,
absolutely,
they end up as a statistic. Well, so let's come back. There's three secrets that you talk about that every business owner needs to know, and you just really were talking about the first one here about vision, and maybe just say a few more things about vision, like what elements really need to be clear. They could certainly model you. I think your vision is so clear. You're just a good model of walking your talk. But how do you, you know, what are some tips for people going about creating their vision for their business?
Well, let me define vision. Vision is actually the second step.
Okay.
In the context of the dreaming room, in the context of origination, the context of my communication, vision is the second step. Vision is the big how do I do it. But first of all, we have to discover what we want to do, and that's the dream. So the dream, as I refer to it, is the great result. The dream is the great result. So Muhammad Yunus, I mentioned his name earlier, wrote a book, Banker to the Poor. And Muhammad Yunus created an enterprise that is now worldwide, starting out in Bangladesh, in the midst of the greatest famine Bangladesh ever had. And simply decided that the one thing he was here to do on this earth was to eradicate poverty. So he set about the task of trying to figure out how to eradicate poverty. And he did. He started out by loaning very, very small amounts of money to impoverished women. Pretty much solely women.
Wow.
Because he discovered that the women were ready for it, but the men weren't.
Very interesting.
And so what he did was to create the most extreme and extraordinary micro-lending program ever. Millions of women have benefited from it. Muhammad Yunus's dream is to eradicate poverty from the face of this earth by 2050.
Wow.
That's his dream. Now, that's a hyperbolic, over-the-top, you-can't-believe-it dream.
Well, and what I'm hearing here is really the dream is really what that passion, the end big result, the ultimate ripple effect by what you're
you
doing.
Got it.
So it's really kind of like the biggest level of, like, literally, like yours, really transforming small business.
Yeah, so I have a big dream. It's transforming the state of small business worldwide. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's very, very simple. If all small businesses don't work, then I want to create a world in which all small businesses do work.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I do that? Well, in order to do that, I have a vision.
Mm-hmm. So that's
and
really
my
the
vision,
second big
then,
key.
Is to invent the McDonald's of small business consulting. Now, what in the world do I mean by the McDonald's of small business consulting? Well, first, it's turnkey, meaning it's scalable.
Mm-hmm.
So McDonald's is a turnkey system. It works exactly the same way every place you go to it, just like Starbucks does, just like the body shop does, just like Walmart does, et cetera, and so forth, just like every Apple store does. It's a turnkey system.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. So I had to create a turnkey system through which to transform the state of small business worldwide, just as Muhammad Yunus has to eradicate poverty and to transform impoverished women into self-fulfilled women who now can take care of all of the things they have to take care of for their children, for their families, for their themselves and their lives.
Mm-hmm.
What an extraordinary thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. Well, so if part of this is about inventing, let's say, the McDonald's of, and I'll just use my business as an example, the McDonald's of creating everyday inner peace. So essentially the system, the duplicatable system for somebody that radically shifts how much inner peace they experience in their everyday life. So if I'm going about that and have maybe pieces in place, and I'll say, you know, I don't think I have a completely turnkey system, what are some tips for people that, like me, that have pieces of the system but really don't have the complete system in place?
Well, get the complete system in place. You know, this is what you're talking about doing has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's done, for example, in transcendental meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You remember TM?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know that TM is a turnkey system?
I didn't really know that, no.
Did you know that every single TMer, every single individual who not only practices TM, but coaches TM, teaches TM, every facilitator that he created, Maharishi created, learned it in an absolutely orchestrated way. This is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. And all they went out and did is do it exactly the way they were taught to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And millions of them have done it.
Right.
You can do the very same thing.
Mm.
So the very same thing is available to anyone who can see it. And that's the shift of attention that has to take place. It's not Maharishi who's doing it. It's millions of others who are true believers in the system and in the outcome,
mm-hmm.
who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get to create.
Oh, well, which is very exciting. Very exciting. Well, and as you were creating your original EMIS system, which has now, of course, been around for decades and decades, you know, how in those early years when you were putting that system together, like what are some of the things you were looking at to really make sure that you had a system that could consistently create a that duplicatable result?
Well, the very first thing is we went out in the street knocking on doors. Hi, I'm Michael Gerber. I'm with the Michael Thomas Corporation. That was the name of our company that later became Gerber Business Development Corporation, that later became the EMIS Academy, that later became EMIS Worldwide. So it's an evolution mm-hmm. of the original business, the Michael Thomas Corporation. And I went out knocking on doors to sell them what I called the Michael Thomas Business Development Program. And in order to do that, I had to begin by asking questions. And essentially, the driving question always is, for all of us, what's missing in this picture?
Mm.
What's missing in all of these small businesses? What's the problem here? Why are they working so hard and getting so little? What's the truth about leadership? What's the truth about money? What's the truth about marketing? What's the truth about management? What's the truth about generating new leads? What's the truth about their selling system? What's the truth about what they deliver? And as you begin to go out and begin to ask all those questions, you begin to discover what's missing. As you begin to discover what's missing, you begin to ask, we had to ask, okay, how would we do that in such a way that anyone who decided to start a small business could do it? What's the process for leading others? What's the process for managing your company? What's the process for knowing how much money you have and how much money you're going to create over the next 3 months? What's the process for doing all this? And we simply drove down and drove down and drove down with these questions, finding out, finding out, finding out, finding out. And you got to understand the miraculous part about this, Mary. I didn't know anything about business when I started. Nothing
wow.
about
wow.
business. Other than I sold encyclopedias, so I knew how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I studied the saxophone, so I knew how to practice. I studied how to build a house, so I knew how that worked. I only, in fact, knew things that had absolutely no obvious relationship with what I was called to do.
Mm.
But what I discovered was every single thing I was called to do was missing in every small business I walked into.
Mm-hmm.
There was no selling system. There was no production system. There was no client fulfillment system, meaning there was no way any small business I walked into could replicate what they had created. In fact, if they had employees, every single one of those employees were doing the very same work differently.
Mm.
And so everything was arbitrary. everything was random. But McDonald's isn't arbitrary. McDonald's isn't random. What was it that McDonald's did that no other small business like McDonald's did? And as it began to drive that question, we began to discover the answers. And that's what enabled us to scale what we do.
Wow, that is phenomenal. You are brilliant at asking those kinds of questions. I can see that that's a big part of it, is really knowing the questions to ask, and then really it sounds like the commitment to follow through and finding those answers. And
oh, right. It's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
There's no dream. It's just work.
Yep.
If there's no vision, it's impossible to frame it into a context that will enable us to go any further than we are.
Mm-hmm.
But the dream and the vision drove it. But I also had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose was that no one should ever have to start a business and fail.
Mm.
No one should ever have to start a business and fail. And I can absolutely promise you this, that no coach who's listening to us today and who will listen to us tomorrow and the next day and weeks later should ever have to fail at creating a flourishing coaching company. But in my mind, it's not about coaching. In my mind, it's about the dream that you have, the dream for the world, for a very specific individual, a person, your what I call central demographic model consumer, the person you're focusing your attention on. Because until you know who that is, it's very difficult to even come close to understanding what you're setting out to do.
Mm-hmm. So how can people get a little clearer? So we got your purpose pretty clear about no one starting a business and failing. What's maybe a tip for people to get tapped into, maybe even some of the coaches or entrepreneurs that are here listening on the call, that may feel like, okay, it's like, you know, I'm doing good in the world, but, you know, is my purpose really, is, you know, how do you know if your purpose is as clear as it needs to be?
Well, it's very, very important, that question you're asking. In the Dreaming Room, in my book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, we use this mantra, which is a blank piece of paper and beginner's mind.
Mm.
You don't start out with anything. You start out with nothing. You don't start out with what you know or believe you know. You start out with nothing. You start out with a blank piece of paper. Literally, in the Dreaming Room, everyone starts out with a blank piece of paper. Now, they come to the Dreaming Room to have something fixed. Well, can you help me fix my business? Can you help me fix my relationship? Can you help me fix my life? Can you help me fix this? Can you help me? No, I can't help you fix anything. Only you can. But in fact, fixing anything isn't really the point. The point is not to fix what's wrong. The point is to create what's right.
Mm, point,
so
what,
because
powerful
statement. We're not in the job of fixing things, we're in the job of creating things in the right way, for the right reason, to produce the right result. And so what happens in the Dreaming Room is really quite extraordinary. And any single one of you on this call who said to me, Michael, this is such a turn-on, I'd love to be able to do this work, well, I'd invite you to come to our very next Dreaming Room Facilitator training, which is right around the corner. It's January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd.
Mm.
And if you really, 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 really are hot to figure out what that is and what it costs and what you'll get for it, I'll tell you very simply, what you'll get for it is an ability to lead other people to awaken the entrepreneur within them. Whether they have the money to start a business is irrelevant. Whether they know anything about business is irrelevant. Whether they have the time out of their job to start something else is irrelevant, because they can do this in the evening or in the morning or when they're not working part-time. The most important part about it is it's a system. It's a process to discover your dream, your vision, your purpose, and your mission. And it's the most extraordinary thing. It's the most extraordinary thing when you begin to see it happen.
Mm. And I think that's music to a lot of coaches' ears, because instead of going and, you know, maybe they learned a few things in coach school about getting clients to tap into each of these things, but, you know, it's, chances are really good that it's only like pieces of the puzzle. And what I love about what you're doing here is that it's much more of a, it's already a comprehensive system. It's tried, it's true. You've delivered this, you know, how many times? I mean, if you've done 59 dreaming rooms, I can only imagine how many people you've put through your programs.
Well, in the dreaming room, we've put through a number of thousand, but that's been really the prototype. It's really been the test. We're now going to go out and do this with millions of people. We're going to have thousands upon thousands of dreaming room facilitators throughout the world. This is a worldwide phenomenon. It's the time for it. It's the time for people to truly, truly dig down deep and understand that we, each and every single one of us, have an opportunity to create a new world. We literally have that opportunity and that responsibility. And that's why I say we must come to that point of choosing. Do we choose to be a creator, as God meant us to be, or do we choose to be a consumer, consuming what creators have created? Well, for me, I can't imagine anything other than being a creator. To me, the joy of creativity, of creating something remarkable, stunning, and new that delivers life and vitality to other people is what I'm here to do. And I know every single person who's listening in right now will rise to that, because I know that you, Mary, would say identically the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I'm probably very unemployable at this point, even though
right.
even though every so often I have a dream of going back to you know, one of my original jobs and getting a nice, you know, steady salary. It's like, I know that's not ever going to happen.
No, you've lost that opportunity, Mary.
Yeah. Oh, I'm happily so. I think I'm, gosh, I think if I add up now, I think I'm about 17 years, longer than that, 20 years entrepreneurship.
Wow.
Woohoo. I'm building up my points.
Yep.
We did put together a special link. This is probably a great time to just put it out. It will also be in the follow-up notes in case you miss a part of this. But we put together a special link to learn more about the dreaming room. And also, you put together some free gifts also. And people can go to http://// tinyurl.com/ M like Mary, A like Apple, G like Green, M-A-R-Y, Mary. So Mag Mary. So that's tinyurl.com/ Mag Mary. And if you didn't get
it. Could you say it again?
Sure. It's http://// tinyurl.com/ M-A-G, M-A-R-Y.
Super.
Excellent.
Super.
So, well, this is exciting. And I love that.
It is exciting.
I love that you've got a turnkey system that, great, to step right in and, boy, you know, help create more success for small business owners everywhere. So we've talked about the dream, the purpose, vision. Do you want to say a little bit about mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the dream, the vision, the purpose, and the mission. And the mission is to build the system. That's what you and I started talking about. To build the system through which you can manifest your dream and your vision, actually achieve your purpose in the real world. So the mission is the accountability of the leader. There are really four distinct personalities in the entrepreneur within every single one of us: the dreamer, the thinker, the storyteller, and the leader. The dreamer has a dream, the thinker has a vision, the storyteller has a purpose, and the leader has a mission. Those four personalities, those four characteristics, each play a very unique role in the creation of your new venture. In the Dreaming Room, we engage each of the participants to discover their dreamer, their thinker, their storyteller, and their leader. And this is all before anybody ever creates a business plan. This is the seed bed for creating a great company. And the thing and the reason why I did this Dreaming Room is because I came to the realization after having worked with, as I've said, 70,000 plus small business owners, delivering E-Myth Mastery to them, is I realized that a very, very important piece was missing, and it was the Dreaming Room. Because I came to see that the vast majority of clients we worked with didn't have a dream. They didn't have a vision. They didn't have a purpose, and they didn't have a mission. They started, like just about everybody who starts in business, because either they have to go out and make a living, and they can't get a job, or they've got a job they don't like, and they want to go out on their own. And so what do? When they go out on their own, they go out to do what they know how to do. Now, many of us go to coach school. Now, I didn't go to coach school, but coach school is a great Pandora's box, if you will, because essentially it says you can now create a new life doing what you'd love to do. That's influencing, helping, supporting other people to find their lives. Of course, they're attracted to do that. The problem is it's not a business. The problem is it's a practice. And so the vast majority of coaches who start coaching have one great difficulty, and that is, first of all, getting clients.
Getting clients, first one, yep.
Yep, getting clients. Well, how do I convince somebody that I can coach them, and what do I talk about? And how do I get them to understand the value of what I do? So they have a great deal of difficulty doing that. The vast majority of coaches I meet barely struggle by with a handful of clients. They don't have a robust client base. And if they have a robust client base, they're working 60 to 70 hours a week.
Like me.
Right. So there you go. I created the perfect job in the world.
All right.
But I don't want a job.
Right.
What I really want is to be free. To do what? I don't even have time to think about it right now.
Right, right.
Because I got to go do this, and I got to go do that, and I got to busy, doing it.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying that is the linchpin for truly awakening the part in every single coach, every single trainer, every single facilitator who's out on his or her own to say that what you need to do is to awaken the entrepreneur within you and discover your true purpose for being here on this earth, your true destiny for being here on this earth. And once you find that, and once you understand that, then of course you'll understand that to just do it is diminishing your capability because it's diminishing your reach.
Right, and in essence, then it becomes like just a different kind of job, and that ultimate freedom, of course, goes by the wayside.
Of course, and the ultimate freedom, Mary, I truly, truly, truly know this, the ultimate freedom is to create.
Mm-hmm.
And by delegating the accountability and responsibility for doing the tactical work, the coach work, by delegating it, by building a system that enables others to deliver the result that you truly wish to deliver, you're now free to continually improve upon it. You're not tied to the day-to-day job of creating income.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true liberation.
Absolutely. It so is. Well, so let me throw this scenario out at you, because there are probably a lot of business owners here on the line that have read your books and know that the way that they're going to have their ultimate freedom is really creating these, you know, these systems that can run without them. But I'm curious about what advice you might have for somebody that's maybe in the middle of that transition. For example, I have a brother-in-law who has a windows business, and he's been opening up offices over the last year. He's actually the most successful dealer for a particular line of windows, and he's their top guy, and still, even in this struggling market, he's still the top, but it's still been tough. So he's building up this duplicatable system, but he's also really overwhelmed in the process. And so what advice do you have for entrepreneurs that are kind of in the middle of, it's like, I know what I need to do, and I only have so many hours in a day, and how do
I
get there?
Isn't that everybody's problem?
Yeah.
Everybody says they know what to do. The problem is they don't.
Mm.
So understand, your is it your brother-in-law?
My brother-in-law. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your brother-in-law has a certain subset of skills. And those certain subset of skills have enabled him to really see. He's also has a very aggressive passion for growing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not interested in just doing windows.
Mm-hmm.
Here, or there, or here. He's not interested in being a window washer. He's interested in truly creating a venture.
Truly, and ultimately to sell that.
Right. He's creating a franchise.
Yeah. He wants to end up in South Carolina on a horse farm. So
There you go. He wants to end up a horse farm. Now, I'll tell you, that's not a dream.
Mm.
That's a fantasy.
Ah.
So understand, when I talk about dreaming, I talk about dreaming as impersonal, not personal.
Mm-hmm.
The dream is not about you. The dream is about them.
Ah.
The dream is not about you. The dream is about them. The dream is not about you becoming wealthy enough so you don't have to do anything and you can retire on a horse farm in Virginia.
Mm.
No, that's not what we're talking about. That will lead you no place, because that will never, ever do it, even if you could get the horse farm in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You will suddenly see that the horse farm in Virginia doesn't really do for you what you thought it would do. And so then you'll need more, and then you'll need more, and then you'll need more. And anybody who's ever bought a new car knows this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
The new car that I really, really, really want to have, that is never sufficient to satisfy you. And so what I'm really saying is, what is the underlying justification for this company that your brother-in-law has created? And how does he learn to get in touch with that overall justification? I want to create a company that is the best place to work in the world.
Mm.
I want to give my employees an education that will enable them to start with me as an apprentice, grow with me as a craftsperson, and star with me as a master, to the point where they're ready to start their own dream, their own vision, their own purpose, their own mission. And then I want to help partner them, to help finance them, so they can leave me to grow what they want to grow. And in the process, touch more and more people in countless different ways. Now, that's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You get a sense of the difference.
Right, right. So for somebody like my brother-in-law that... I get that it's not kind of the same dream to, like, build up great, have a turnkey system that is, the number one, provider for the line of windows that he represents.
Right. That's one part of it.
Okay.
The other part of it is, so why?
Yeah.
Does I believe in windows? No. I don't think anybody believes in windows.
Although they are very beautiful because they're high-end,
Well, of course. Understand. But nobody believes in
them. Right, exactly.
Right. I mean, if you believe in windows, you've got a serious problem.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You really haven't gone far on the spiritual scale.
Right, exactly. So if we take, let's say whether it's, and I think a lot of people dream. I think a lot of people would say, well, what's wrong with, building up and selling off their business for, multi-millions of dollars?
Nothing's wrong with it.
But for somebody that's in, let's say, that category, let's say like a restaurant, for example, it's like, how do we tie that to, like, the dream where it's more about food and maybe not so much about, like, coaching, which is really, really ties into making a difference and so fits that model for...
Well, it's interesting that you asked the question about a restaurant, because where I was for the 2 hours preceding this call was with a visitor, a friend, who calls himself the restaurant doctor.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, Bill Marvin has been the restaurant doctor for over 30 years and knows more about restaurants, the operation of restaurants, just about anybody in the face of the earth. Bill Marvin came to the Dreaming Room.
Mm.
He came to the Dreaming Room to discover, now what? So I know all this about restaurants, and I've become the restaurant doctor, and the National Association of Restaurants invites me to speak, and I coach restaurant owners, and so forth and so on, but it all depends upon me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I break free of this?
Oh, this is a great question.
Yeah, break that. Bill Marvin said, how do I break free of this? He came to the Dreaming Room.
Mm-hmm.
And when he walked out of the Dreaming Room, was a real dream, a real vision, a real purpose, and a real mission. His dream was to transform the state of hospitality in restaurants worldwide.
Mm.
And he's created a new venture called A Place of Hospitality. And he is now teaching restaurateurs the difference between hospitality and simply the mechanical delivery of a commodity you call food.
Mm.
So here's a man who wants to touch the hearts of people everywhere they work.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, hospitality is not just hospitality for the customer you're attracting to your door, but it's hospitality for the people who wait on the tables, for the chef, for the people who work in the kitchen, for the kid who washes the dishes, and so forth and so on. How do you create a truly hospitable place?
Mm-hmm.
So he's designing the system to do that.
Mm, beautiful.
And that's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So he came here to spend a couple of hours with me to really engage in the conversation. Okay, Michael, I've written the white paper. I've began to build my client fulfillment system. I began to test it. I have a guy who's now become certified as a place of hospitality in Syracuse, and I've got a guy who's being certified as a place of hospitality in Virginia, and now I'm just about ready to go out and do this seriously. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Now what? And so we had the now what question. And here's Bill walking out of here. He's a man of 59 years old, a truly joyful guy who is on a path,
mm-hmm.
on a path to transform the lives of owners of restaurants, independent restaurants throughout the United States, and there are over 1 million of them.
Mm.
Now imagine walking into a place, a restaurant that is alive, vibrant, where the people are happy, joyful, where the food is delicious and copious, where your attention, the attention they give you, is loving, generous, caring, knowledgeable, and so forth and so on, as compared to your normal experience.
Mm. That's a nice ripple effect into the world.
You got it.
Yeah. That's what I love about you. It's so not just about the making money part of it. It's ultimately about the heart and soul and fulfillment of the entrepreneur. And if you leave out the dream piece, I can see that, great, you may make a lot of money, and at the end of the day, you're still going to feel like something's missing and have to go back to the grindstone again.
Yep. It's about passion.
Mm-hmm.
It's about passion. It's about absolutely passionately loving what you're creating and loving your creations. It's beyond belief, and it has nothing to do with business.
Mm-hmm.
After everything is said and done, I never cared about business. I'm not interested in business. Of course, we all have to make money. We all have to create profit, because if we don't create profit, then there's no reason to be in business.
Yep.
Profit is the only thing that's left after everything else is spent. and the profit enables you to grow your business, to invest in your business, to do more things in your life. But essentially, who cares about business?
Mm-hmm.
Business is simply a means to deliver something that has transformational value at the highest level and functional value at the lowest level to every single person on the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
A business is a medium through which you and I get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary Ellen, you're in business.
Yes.
And every one of your coaches are in business.
Mm-hmm.
But most people hate business and don't even want to have a conversation about business. Because their mindset about business is that it's not a spiritual path. It's not an artistic path. It's not a creative path. When in fact, it's about the most creative path anybody can engage in, because there are so many parts to the puzzle.
Right. And I think this is one of the biggest ways that people can change their thinking about business for greater enjoyment, is really seeing it as the vehicle of transformation. And I love that. I think that's so true. I do love business, and it's tough though for so many people to even, like, oh, I don't want to mess with the accounting. I don't want to mess with the client attraction.
Don't put them in a room with me.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, they will leave feeling completely different about it.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling we've affected some of that change just on this call. And how I wish we could keep going and going with questions, but I think we've given people a lot to really digest as far as, you know where it always starts, which is really coming back to the kind of these four keys. And I love that you have the Dreaming Room available, which sounds like could be great for people, both the coaches who may want to be facilitators, and also for, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, I know I want to do something and I'm not sure what. So for those kinds of people, the Dreaming Room is really a perfect place to go.
Absolutely perfect. So remember the date, January 31st. It's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, I'm going to put the heat on you. I'm going to really, really, really try to get you to come there.
Oh.
And bring a bunch of people with you.
Well,
we're really, really earnest. I want to fill this country with Dreaming Room facilitators to help all those people who are stuck. And it's not just stuck because they don't know what to do, but stuck because they think they know what to do, but are absolutely stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
So give that some thought.
Yeah, I appreciate that invitation. I'm going to look and see, you know, what dates I can make work on my calendar. Again, that web link, which I will send out in an email. If you're on this call, you will be getting an email if you've registered. So that's tinyurl.com/magmary. And so final thoughts to leave with those entrepreneurs here in the line that definitely don't want to become, you know, a statistic. What's maybe a final thought for them?
Well, just start all over again. Remember, that's what you have to do. It's a blank piece of paper and beginner's mind. It doesn't start with what you know. It starts without any knowledge at all.
Mm.
And that is so, so important. And anyone with the passion can do this. That's the joy.
Mm, I love that. I love that you hold that space for every single person who's got a passion to take that next step.
Everybody. So, and Mary, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. And for all of our listeners, if you don't have a copy of the E-Myth Revisited, pick that up. And, of course, there's dozens of others you can keep an eye out for. And add to your library if you don't already have them there and dog-eared and worn out. Michael, thank you. As always, fun to just share words of wisdom. I know I'm leaving here super inspired to make some real changes with my business. So starting at square one. All right. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you on the next call. Bye now. Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Mary.
Now I'll open the lines. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, Mary. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.